say a little bit about what you do in your writing, the course that you're doing, like what that entails, like on a weekly basis, that really generally
basically. Yeah, it's the Crime Fiction Academy, it's twice or three times a week, it's always evening classes. And Monday nights we have to bring writing and we share it beforehand, and then we do big workshops where we kind of critique each other's writing. And then one night a week we have to read a book and then we discuss it, and it's in a certain crime writing period, and we talk about the period and the genre. And so we just started in the 20s, and then also published authors come and talk to us as well. And it's great. I went to this weird school a few years ago to study fake marble, and it's exactly the same. You're just not used to being around people that are like right wing.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I wondered about the demographic of the students.
It's a shame because there's also already emerged a bit of a kind of gender divide. There's these guys there that are total like, I'm not hard boiled, I'm into noir. They're really into like genre specific, and then there's lots of women who talk about, yeah, like they say my favourite night of crime novel is Crime and Punishment, you know, rather than Raymond Chandler. And so the other night I mentioned The Maltese Falcon in the context of Susan Sontag's essay Notes on Camp, and these guys just look like they wanted to kill me because you're playing with the genre, this is about crime. So it's really great.
Was the show that you said was panned when in Zurich? Was
mm-hmm.
that the show that you did on the Town Gown?
Yeah. People really didn't like it. But
could you elaborate? You said like they panned it like Zurich.
Yeah, I feel like everybody, there was a lot of the same criticism, and as I said, it seemed to me that somehow if you make something really well, then it's meant to be a luxury item, or like somehow celebrate consumer culture rather than be more complicated. And so, yeah, it was missing. They misinterpreted our intentions. Maybe that was our fault, but that certainly wasn't what we wanted to say.
Your writing is so interesting because you talk about that you're writing from the standpoint of writing as if you're a different ego, almost like a remote control ego. Like you want to write as if you're another person, you want to imagine what that other person would write. And it's like, so it's kind of like a meta fictive. Really interesting, but I'm wondering.
I also want to like draw like Hergé, or I want to paint like someone from the 17th century. It's the same kind of desire to inhabit some other structure, to like rinse it out and use it to kind of try as much to work within its structure and its rules for effect. And I also wanted to say something about some really nice little quote I read recently I'm reading about Nabokov at the moment. And he said, I think in connection with book jacket design and his own writing, it says stylization can be meaningful if done with purpose, sense, and idiosyncrasy. To stylize, you need to understand, and it can be an expression of understanding. And so by inhabiting these particular styles, it's a quote, but it's also very respectful to that, or I hope it's respectful to that genre and the kind of the power that it has. I mean, I want something of that, what's powerful about those forms. I want it.
Do you think that that it might also be a path to writing from yourself, also more purely from yourself? I mean, it is a distinction.
Yeah, I don't feel that it always has to be cloaked in irony and kind of all this stuff, but I think you would do that indirectly by your writing anyway. Oh, by the way, if anyone wants to read the book, we don't have any copies because it was done as this kind of weird private thing, but maybe if you email the Arts Institute, I'll give them a PDF that they could email to you. And it's not very good, we're really like amateur.
Yeah.
but it was, it generated all the stuff that I really liked.
I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you allow or almost embrace a degree of contradiction in things you do. Like, that's something that people must always be bringing to you. I mean, a lot of people sitting here are in an academic environment where often in, as a part of crits or seminars, this is brought up to students as a negative. You know, like, you say this, but you're doing this or whatever. But you seem to just really navigate that and allow that as an almost generative way to work. I mean, is that the case, or do you worry over that, or what?
I just hope it's in combination with something else, which is also quite straightforward and honest about my desires. But a lot of the time, you're not sure. Often when you start to use material, you're not sure why it gets you so excited. And you only work that out at the end of the show or the end of the project. This is what's so annoying as an artist, when a gallery wants to know before you've even made the work what it's about for their press, when you just don't know. And with a lot of things, it just takes years to kind of work out your relationship with it, but that's what you do. That's what you do. So sometimes it's ambiguous, sometimes you get it wrong, and then you change your mind about what it is that you like about something or why you want to work with it, but it's still trying to be kind of honest about.
It seems like it allows you to make a lot of work, though. It allows you to just keep rolling and not overthink something. You're going to try it out and you're going to do it. If it runs into something else,
that's the thing. If you kind of trust in your own instinct, and this is what's great about working with things like, you know, 50 Shades of Grey or Agatha Christie or these cat drawings. I'm from this background of like counterculture, from Riot Girl and fanzines and bands and this kind of transgression and being extreme and underground. And then suddenly I get a complete thrill when I want to write an Agatha Christie novel. And at first you think, no, you can't do that, that's so cheesy. But then of course that's, if you feel that kind of upset about it, that's a good reason to kind of find out why.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about maybe the idea of deception in your work,
mm-hmm.
like from the Trompe l'Oeil paintings, as well as like the sort of fake storefront and like the book covers that have it sort of disjoint between the imagery and the actual text.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of how you feel, how you feel that.
I guess I wouldn't use the word deception, I'd use like artifice or trickery or something like that, which again I think maybe it just comes from this background of being deeply embedded in pop culture. You know, you just, everything has already been kind of gone over and rinsed out in samples so much that there's never any kind of natural state anyway. So, you're getting into my way of thinking, aren't you? Kind of. Yeah, that's all I can think of to say about that. But things like doing this horrible prank on this collector on Stromboli, it was also really exciting because I'm just trying to be so straight up all the time, and then suddenly being this kind of liar, it was really, I thought, God, I'm like Tom Ripley. What happens? I'm going to get caught, and then I'm going to like lie, and then another lie is going to be needed, and then. And it was great.
Maybe we can take one last question.
One more.
What does this, the book cover?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if everyone knows what that's about, but it's great.
So, The Prime of Mischief Brodie is a book about a charismatic teacher at a girls' school in Edinburgh. She cultivates a kind of close group of girls around her who completely look up to her, and she ends up using them as kind of surrogates to have affairs with other teachers, and one ends up going to fight in the Spanish Civil War on the side of the fascists. And she says things like, "C'est Safety, girls, does not always come first. Love, truth, and beauty come first. And so I did this fashion collection recently, which I didn't want to talk about here, but when the fashion collection was finished, I looked at it and thought, what is this about? Who would wear this? It looks a bit like the uniform for a boarding school in Cairo. So then I started thinking, well, maybe I'll write a little story set in like a Swiss boarding school in Cairo where they've got this kind of Misty Brody type teacher and all the girls wear their headscarves in slightly different ways to express their personalities. So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.